You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG.
Make some noise.
Hey, everybody. Today on the Cooligans, in the first segment, it's just me, Christian, doing this intro because Alexis is in Ireland. So we have another conversation. Alexis apparently does not want to be next to me anymore. But in the first segment, we're talking, obviously, Zlatan, your boy. The homie, the god, Zlatan. Look, he's doing big things in LA. LAFC has a lot to worry about, okay? So we're a little concerned, but we'll try to cheer him up a little bit. In the second segment, we talk about all the games. Obviously, El Tráfico. Nobody marking Dom Dwyer. Maybe that should be a thing that they should focus on going forward. A lot of other games in the second segment. You guys are the absolute best. You're going to be excited about the episode we have today on the Cooligans!
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Hello! What's up? We are again apart. We can't even find time to be together.
We cannot be together. Why would we be together when there's this whole world and we have technology?
That's right. Who needs human interaction? But Alexis, I want to hold hands and touch, you know?
What? Yeah. I want to see your face.
Alexis, you are again traveling.
I am in Ireland.
And again, and this isn't a repeat. This isn't a rerun of the Cooligans. You are in Ireland.
No.
Again.
You might have heard that episode. This is another one. This is the remix, baby. And guess what? I might be coming back in August. So,
Okay.
People are going to start. I mean, customs is going to have some questions for me.
Hey, you know, what do you got taped to your stomach there, sir? He's like, oh, no, nothing. That's just my body.
We're going to have to check every one of those folds.
Oh, boy. So
slowly and gently, baby.
Welcome to the show. Of all weeks for you to be away, this was the wrong one. You chose the wrong week to travel.
I mean, I was in town when Zlatan showed up. I should have been in LA this week.
Okay.
That's what should have happened. I should have went to Ireland last week, which although it was snowing. So maybe I just go to Ireland the following week. I should have been in LA this week. Just, you know, hanging out with old Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
So, look, there's a lot to get to, but we have to let's say hello. There might be some new listeners, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody.
We're always getting new listeners.
Yeah, totally.
And they probably put this on and going, I thought this was a soccer podcast.
What? It's just talking about getting drunk in Ireland. This is not what I'm interested in.
He wants Homeland Security to check underneath his belly. It's got nothing to do with soccer.
And nobody wants to go under there. Trust me.
There's at least one person, and I put a ring on her. I mean, come on. Let's not be stupid.
So, welcome to the show. My name is Christian Polanco.
Yeah, my name is Alexis Guerreros.
We are the Cooligans. We are two stand-up comedians in New York City that host the funniest soccer podcast and also the
gulliest soccer podcast. That's it, gully. We call you out. We G-check you. We say whatever we want. We're talking greasy on the internet. It's what we do.
Real on real on real. That's all we do.
Yeah. Well, it's all we know how to be. Like, people ask us all the time, yo, can you be fake? Yo, Christian, what do we say to them?
I'm like, yo, I don't even know that word. That word is not in my vocabulary.
That shit hurts my head trying to imagine what you're saying.
Yeah. All our like conversations with people about soccer are just straight up like wrestling promos. Like, you don't want any of this, brother. You don't want any.
Step into the ring with me.
So we're about to get into fights every week. That's what we do. Obviously. Even if you're not a fan of Major League Soccer, you are not able to avoid the reality of the power
of Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And we have, look, let's just start with that. Let's get it out of the way. There's a lot of other things going on. Alexis, yes, you are in Ireland, and you're having a great time, and you're doing comedy, and you're talking to Irish people about soccer, which they call it soccer in Ireland. I don't know if some people may not know that, but they do. So
yeah, they call it soccer here. They call it soccer in Australia. They call it soccer in America. We're the ones who are right, okay?
Look, we're the only ones doing it right. Everyone else, it sounds real silly calling
right?
it.
In Italy, they're talking all this gaucho stuff. What is that?
Yeah, but the Americans have to get picked on because of, because we are we sort of lead the world in everything, and we're just the coolest nation, but we're also like we have a lot of flaws and problems, and look, at least we're introspective, so give us that much credit.
Yeah, we got to change our culture because you don't like the word you told us to call it. I guarantee you, y'all didn't tell the Italians to call it calcio. Get out of here.
I would love.
Fuck out of here.
I would love to see British people being telling Italian people to stop calling it calcio. Or
So we'll just start World War III now? Or
yeah, where's the courage there? Where are the balls, you know?
None.
All right? You guys, it's corny already. So Zlatan Ibrahimovic lands in LA on what, Thursday night, I believe. Friday trains. Saturday takes over the goddamn world. I mean, that was really the agenda. When you look at his agenda, it's literally written down there in that. I don't even know what Zlatan his handwriting is like, but I imagine it's not great for some reason.
Because he doesn't even have to write. The only thing he knows how to do is autograph tits and sign checks. That's all this guy knows how to do. Let me tell you something. I am in shock that people saw me wearing an NYCFC jersey and they started asking me about MLS out here. People were like, oh, just see Zlatan. I was at an Italian restaurant here, which is absolutely incredible. If anyone comes to Ireland, it's called Terra Madre. We were over there.
I was just going to say like that people in Ireland saw you wearing an NYCFC kit and then thought like that's what American soccer players look like. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. This is what's going on over there.
I guess anybody can play.
All right.
It really is a retirement league.
Look, as long as they're having a good time, that's all.
Yeah. It's a retired man's body league. The guy at the restaurant was like, MLS. Oh, did you see Zlatan's goal? I didn't get to see it yet. Can you pull it up? Like, people in the kitchen were talking about it. Like, this is, it's a big deal. And we talked about this. Everybody talked about it. Every podcast said the same goddamn thing. Look, you have to do this because it's Zlatan, okay? And let me tell you something. You cannot give any amount of money to any PR company that would do better for you than to simply just sign Zlatan. I don't care if you're a soccer team. I don't care if he's 37 years old. I don't care if you're a lacrosse team. I don't care if you're a bunch of old ladies playing bridge and you want more old ladies to play. You sign Zlatan.
He will do. He gets numbers. He gets ratings for whatever bingo league that you got going at church.
B11? Yo, Zlatan calls that? All of a sudden, you got way too much money in the pot. You're going to have to start telling the government about this. Gambling underneath the church.
IRS breaks down the door, like just starts putting grandma handcuffs. Hey, lady, there's a lot of money flying around in this church. We got to sort it out.
There's too much Zlatan. I got to be honest, even people that don't really like soccer, because there's a lot of people, I know that's a big shock because it's Europe, but there's a lot of people in Ireland that really don't really care about soccer. They're maybe more rugby fans and whatnot, but everybody knows who Zlatan is. Everybody.
Yeah.
Like, this may not sound the alarms in the U.S. the way, David Beckham did, but let me tell you, universally, this is as big a deal, if not really bigger, than when David Beckham signed.
This is, I mean, more than anything, I think the biggest difference between Zlatan and David Beckham, even though David Beckham was a huge brand when he got here, the era of social media that Zlatan is in is probably more effective than what David Beckham did for the league as far as getting eyeballs immediately aware of what's going on in Major League Soccer. So that's the advantage that Zlatan has. And also Zlatan is a... is frankly a better player, and it's easier, you know. Alejandro Moreno on ESPN FC sort of made this point that because of for the soccer layman, it is easier to understand the quality of Zlatan over the quality of David Beckham. David Beckham had he was a midfielder, can put the ball wherever he wanted to put the ball. He can make his teammates look better, but for someone who doesn't really understand soccer or doesn't watch it as much, you can see a 6'5" Swedish guy with a man bun, tattoos, and abs, and start and just demolish everybody else on the field. And you're like, okay, this is interesting. I see what's going on here.
Yeah, and you know what? As far as America has come in understanding soccer, we still have to, you know, like if you look at it as like, there's a circle, right? And just beyond that is a slightly like a wider circle. Well, the middle one is green and we'll say the outer one is orange and the outer one on that is white, right? The green, those are the soccer fans and those are people that understand what David Beckham did, but that's a small circle. A much bigger circle is that red one. Or what did I say, orange? I'm already lost.
Okay.
But let's just say
I at least want to say for our colorblind fans that are listening, just skip this part of the podcast because you don't know what these colors look like.
Hit the forward for 15 seconds. Or probably two or three times because it's going to take me a while to figure this out. Whatever I said that second one was, orange or red, let's say that one are your non-MLS supporters, but they know what soccer is. The Zlatan brings them in as well. That white ring on the outside, that's the widest ring. That's the most amount of people, right? Mm-hmm. That's your American casual sports fan that would be interested in soccer but doesn't know anything about it. To some degree, scoring is what's going to get them interested because scoring is a big deal in every other sport. It's a huge deal in soccer as well, but seeing a lot of goals scored is like, you know, like an NFL game has, you know, points are like a couple hundred, or I mean, you know, like a couple hundred if you add it up. You know, NBA is the same thing. It's 110 to 115. Like scoring is a big deal. Three-pointers. These are big deals, you know, long touchdowns, long runs, long catches. These are the highlights generally. It's not like a great pass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what David Beckham did had to be completed. Zlatan, he is the completer. So he's in there for five minutes.
Sounds like George Bush, the decider. I'm the decider.
He's the decider. I'm the decider. I make decisions. So therefore, I'm a decider. God, what a wonderful presidency when you look back on it now, huh? I mean, started a world war,
just,
but really.
Just a dream. Just a dreamboat.
Bring us back, will you? Love to complain about him a little bit. Could someone throw shoes at the president again? But, you know, you look at what Zlatan does is he scores goals, and that's something that people share. And, you know, even someone who doesn't know anything about soccer, even someone beyond that white ring who's maybe not even a sports fan can look at that and go, oh, that's a good thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's 5 minutes in, his shirt's off, and he's the biggest thing. think about how wonderful those two Carlos Vela goals were.
But they were both magical in this half, especially the first one.
The first one was incredible.
Just a legitimate rainbow. I mean, if you trail it, it was gorgeous. And once I saw that, I was like, oh boy, LA Galaxy. I mean, just shut it down. Carson's done, you know?
We were like, oh, I was watching it. I watched that part of it, and I was like, come on now. Can't do nothing about that. That's it. Wrap it up.
Okay, it's over. All right?
Wrap it up.
Bob Bradley, go back to Swansea. You're done here.
Yeah. Slots on. Back to Europe with you, buddy. Get back on that PJ. You out of here. I looked at that, and I was like, come on. Yo, that's a highlight that if that happens... If that happens in United versus Swansea, which I believe this is weekend coming up, something even that normal, that sort of not that big of a match, that's a highlight that gets shared all over the world.
Yeah.
So that was a big goal in and of itself. No one's talking about it. No one.
I mean,
in fact, I brought it up and most of you just remembered if you're listening that it happened.
Well, some people, this weekend also we had the goal from Christian Eriksen from Tottenham against, who did they play against? Chelsea.
Why?
I guess Chelsea.
Why are we bringing this up?
But only because the goal was also a pretty, you know, a kind of a, you know, not a curl necessarily, but up. It definitely had that bend and dropped, you know, immediately, and Willie Caballero couldn't didn't realize the ball was going to come down that quickly and go right in. But that was also an incredible goal that if Zlatan's goal doesn't happen, no one's really, you know, like more people would have been talking about the Eriksen goal. The Eriksen goal was actually a great goal as well. But Zlatan, I mean, there was a I forgot who posted it. Somebody posted a social media like light up chart, you know, across the world to see how many people were talking about Zlatan after the goal. And all you see is just like it looks like the electric grid turning on. All across the globe, you know, as soon as what all the news of Zlatan's arrival had a lot of people talking about it, but as soon as the goal happened, it was everywhere in Brazil, all over South America, all over Europe, in Africa, in Australia. You see all the big cities kind of talking about this stuff, and it was a monument. That goal was will be a monumental moment for the growth of Major League Soccer and American soccer. That is how significant it was.
I would love, what was it, Spencer FC? He posted something like, oh, people are going to slag it off that it's just MLS. And then he goes on to basically say, well, it was just MLS, but it was still amazing. I mean, there's nothing that we can do. And to be honest, this is the same issue we had when Drogba came in and he scores a hat trick like 17 seconds into playing in MLS. Doesn't even know who he's playing against. I mean, another incredible talent, but you look at something like this and you say, does this help or hurt? Clearly it helps get the, you know, the retweets going. And I think the most important thing is that other players, like, you don't get Thierry Henry if you don't get David Beckham and Roy Keane, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you don't get David Villa if you don't get Thierry Henry. And if you probably don't get, you know, Zlatan, maybe, Thierry.
I call it DP dominoes. And they all the designated players knock each other over to bring in the next one, to get that next big signing.
You're not wrong. Like, each of them are sort of, like, they're begat from the previous one. The previous one sort of lets other players know, like, hey, man, this is a great place to go. You know, David Villa is going to have a lasting effect on the league, not just for how well he plays for NYCFC, and clearly one of the best DP signings in the history of the league, but, like, other players are going to come because he had such a great time here and he's made such a great career here.
And that's
going to create that sort of turnover.
But that's how it works, and I think people don't really keep in mind, like, that this happens in every single league across the world. So in the Chinese Super League, Obafemi Martins is over there. You think somebody's not calling him and like, yo, oh, what's the Chinese Super League like? Yeah, maybe I'll go over there. Or in Bundesliga, somebody's calling somebody else and like, oh, okay, you it went well for you. Maybe I'll check out the league. So there's always this. It's more than just playing soccer in a place. It is uprooting yourself from where you grew up, possibly going to a place where you don't speak the language and trying to acclimate yourself to a whole new country, and on top of all those things that are complicated, you also have the added pressure of, like, these countries care about soccer a lot and will put that pressure on you as an athlete. So you as opposed to in the U.S., which is a big country and there's a lot of sports and there's not as much of a situation where players are arriving here and don't speak the language. Unlike it's happening now in soccer, which is so in general, yeah, it's a common thing. But this
But this makes us look bad a little bit, in the sense, just like, you know, Drogba. I mean, he comes in, he's already doing this. It makes it look like he's not playing against strong competition. No,
okay. This is what
I hate to be a pessimist.
But I think it's an important argument to have, because this is to me, the Euro snobs, whether they're European or American, right? Regardless of what they think, they are trapped in their own bubble of, they can't allow themselves to be like, oh, that was dope, MLS is doing big things. They can't even allow themselves to to just accept that there's some growth and some improvement. And that's,
think how disgusting life must be where you can't even enjoy. You can't even enjoy.
Yeah. And the thing with Zlatan, especially after that goal, like, it's annoying because we all saw the statistics of, you know, he has scored in every single debut for every team he's ever played on. And so he's done it everywhere, and he does it. And when he was doing it in Serie A, when he was doing it in the Premier League, when he was doing in La Liga, nobody said anything about retirement league or look at the poor quality. He just did it in the Premier League at 34, 35 years old. And so is that not an indictment on the Premier League and its low quality? No, no one is saying that. It's easy. It's a trope, and it's hack. It's hacky to just constantly pile on MLS, and to use Zlatan as an example is really the worst example, because he just bodied your league a couple months ago. So what the hell are you talking about?
Everyone acts like he literally was like, you know, he was playing in like the third in Bundesliga 3 or 3 Bundesliga, and he came here and all of a sudden he's tearing it up. Or, you know, he was only on Manchester United because of a legacy like Rooney or something. Like, what are you talking about? He was a monster a year ago. He was a monster. And he clearly, like, if he would have done this, if he would have came in and did this at Manchester United, one, a Manchester United game would have been exciting to watch, which is rare under Mourinho. And two, people would have been like, that guy still got it, you know? And now we, all of a sudden, he does it at MLS, and everyone's like, oh, look at this retirement league, that this old man could come back from a serious injury.
You know what?
And he played so well.
I'm personally fine with it, because when you look at good on MLS for doing this, because we learned that there was a lot of effort in getting Zlatan there, and after his arrival and his first press conference, he did mention that he wasn't even supposed to go to Manchester United, and I forgot the guy's name that was like making a big effort in getting him to Major League Soccer, but. There was
Mino Raiola,
no, not,
his agent?
Not Mino. It was somebody from LA Galaxy, I believe, or I think he worked with LA Galaxy. So he was trying for years to get Zlatan there, and he wasn't even supposed to go to Manchester United, and which leads me to believe that there is that the reason. I mean, maybe I don't know if this is not a conspiracy theory, just a theory, but. If they were trying to get Zlatan here for years and they finally got him on a TAM deal, that I think the reason TAM and GAM was even created was probably to allow Zlatan to come into the league. That's my theory, because this happened. TAM was introduced, what, a year ago, 2 years ago? I think it started the beginning of last season, right? And this is probably around the time where they were trying to get Zlatan to the.
And LA Galaxy already had 3 DPs.
Yeah. Yeah. So it crossed my mind. Who knows? But they, you know, just like, you know, MLS does how MLS does. And they have to, like, they got to work the books. They got to move some stuff around to get.
But this also proves our point we've been making for years, which is that the LA Galaxy, they don't play within or around the rules. Maybe they create the rules.
They're writing the rule book, okay? They're lobbying in Washington right now, changing the rules.
The rule book is in there. It's in their front offices. So yeah. When people are like, yo, do I have enough TAM? They're like, I don't know. We got to ask LA Galaxy.
Hey, I mean, they run everything. What are we going to do? So,
and I want to apologize to everyone for the noise in the background. If you can hear it, they literally just started doing construction next door as we made this phone call. So... I apologize if you're hearing a little bit of that. It sounds like a generator or something, but I suppose it'll turn off relatively quickly. So if there's too loud in the background, I apologize.
All right.
But, you know, LA Galaxy is one of those teams that we've been saying from day one can do whatever the hell they want. They're proving it. They're proving it. They can sign whoever they want. They get rules made for them, but it always works out. It works out in their favor.
Look, I mean, you got to give them some credit in being that club that kind of sets the tone for the league. And the Galaxy are becoming a they won the most MLS Cups. Yeah, maybe there's favoritism or whatever, but there has to, in every sport, there always has to be this this team. Like, the Lakers, the Showtime Lakers, kind of put the NBA on the map. The 90s Bulls, kind of reinforced like what dominance really is. You know, the New England Patriots. There's always this team that kind of does this, and I would even say in the NBA as well, where they changed the rules because of Shaquille O'Neal, and they're trying to change the rules now over fouling. You know, they changed the rules now over fouling late in games or whatever. So this is not unprecedented.
Well, I'll tell you this much. I mean, I have a line. Like, if MLS decides to create a rule where you can't break the backboard, then I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm done. This is not the game of yore, you know?
We made this damn sport so soft.
Yeah, because we don't want to become like baseball snobs, which is baseball is all about. It's really history and tradition. You know, just the other day there was I don't even know the game, but there was a player that bunted because they did a shift and the player bunted because he was trying to get on base and he got on base and the other team was mad at him because the pitcher was on a one hitter and he was ruining like that record for that pitcher or whatever. And this is how lost and stupid baseball fanatics can be, where they're so caught up in it in their own history that they can't even focus on that there's two teams trying to win a damn game and they're
like, how dare you take advantage how dare you take obvious advantage of a situation when our team is playing so good against you that it might be a record.
It's so absurd. And you know, that's the thing in that's what I enjoy about soccer, where there's no if you let up and you're not trying to score as many as you can, that you're insulting the other team. So
yeah, that's on you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's on you.
You know, even when NYCFC lost 7-0, would I have wanted them to lose 7-0? No. But if the Red Bulls all of a sudden at 4-0 just kind of took their foot off the gas and just like pinged the ball around back and forth, I'd be like, nah, it's just whack, man. Like, get,
or like, or gave them like an own goal just to be like, there you go, guys.
That would have been that would have lit up the internet. Just giving a goal away in a derby. It doesn't matter. You could be up 42-0, and if you gave up one goal, the your fans would lose their minds.
Are you kidding me? A lot of people here are like Celtic fans versus like Rangers. Mm-hmm. If Glasgow Celtic gave a goal to Glasgow Rangers, an own goal, because they were beating them so bad, people would die. People would die.
Just like Federico Higuain would say.
Higuain. People die.
I don't know.
He's like, this is crazy. Everyone too nice here. You know, you're the ones with the guns, but over there, people die. They would die.
I don't understand. All right.
Yeah, I love the casualness in which he says that is why we keep bringing it up. He's like, do you know what happens in my country? People die, you know?
Oh, my God. So, you know, another example that I get frustrated with is the BWP argument, which is like, he couldn't even cut it in the championship or in League One. And then he comes to MLS and he just shows how low quality the league is. But then the counter argument people make also is Jamie Vardy. Jamie Vardy was in League Two or whatever, and then he wins the Prem. So it's like, well, what is that? Does that mean that the Prem is a low quality as well because of
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. That's what it means. Y'all need do y'all need slot time? Y'all gotta pay for it. I think y'all should institute TAM is what y'all need.
All right, I don't know if you can afford. You need a LA Galaxy over there in the Prem.
By the way, is Premier League lower in quality? I don't know. Ask any team that's played against Manchester City. Because they all look pretty low in quality.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Everton just played them and they made them look pretty bad. And there seems to be about like a 24-point difference between the first and second place team. So
It's another Bundesliga. That's what y'all got on your hands. At least La Liga has a couple teams that can fight for it. What's the most exciting part of Premier League? Relegation and who's going to get in the Champions League spots. That's it.
Yeah. Well, I was just watching the Copa 90 Poet and Vuj comments below thing. And after, look, I've been interested in seeing how other media outlets across the world are covering Zlatan. And one of the first things that Vuj has said was, in the beginning of the video, he's like, I wish we were just talking about Zlatan right now. And he's like, this is the first time I've ever, and totally condescending. He was like, bro, I want to talk about MLS. I cannot believe I want to talk about MLS right now. Like, it's so ridiculous. It's just like, bro, the goal was good. Good goals happen in Egypt. Good goals happen in freaking South Africa. Whatever. Who cares where it happened? It's Zlatan.
And can I say something? I love the fact that you brought this up, all right? Because I wasn't going to bring it up because I feel like I've gone a little crazy on the Guerrero rants lately, okay? I've been Guerrero rant heavy for the last couple weeks. But let me just say something, all right? If anyone from MLS is listening right now, and I know y'all do, These are the people you paid. You paid these people. You paid them to do promotion for your and the Mexican League. And you here with how they're talking about your league going? You know what you are? You're like the girlfriend that everybody wants to break up with the boyfriend, but at this point we're like, you know, we don't care anymore. We don't care if you stay with him. We don't care if he cheats on you, dog. We don't care how he talks about you in public. Because look at this. We done told you about it already, and you ain't doing nothing about it.
Like, girl, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. I am done with you. That's it. It's frustrating.
At this point, it's on you.
Yeah, and look, I think it's more than just like it's again, it's that bubble. It's being just so consumed with your own ideology and rhetoric and arrogance that, like, look, the Premier League will always, you know, I mean, for the foreseeable future, it is going to be the most popular and most watched football league in the world, and that's fine. But
well, in America, it's Liga MX. What up, son?
So, look, that says a little bit about, you know, the points that people make and the sort of the reasoning people have, and it's going to take a long time, or it may just never happen. Where, you know, British people are like, oh, okay, the MLS is a it is another league, and they have good moments as well. There's too much. And more than any other league, because there's plenty of look, Major League Soccer is bigger than a lot of leagues in a lot of other countries, but for whatever reason, it is just easier for MLS to be the butt of the joke because of how new it is, and of course it has its flaws, and
it's also the one thing we're not amazing at, you know what I mean? It's you know, we show up at the Olympics and we're rocking it, you know what I mean? Like, there's only so much that we could be great at. I mean, they're not supposed to bend over at everything, but the thing I'm always talking about is, like, look at all the Americans that are like, oh, but it's MLS, it's just MLS. Dog, you're that. You allow yourself to be that person in your own country, dog?
Yeah. People have seen MLS grow up and go through a lot of hiccups and stumble and MLS shootout and all this other stuff. So it's easy to make fun of it because it's come up in an era where it's come up in the media era where we've gotten to see it, where, like, they of course there were a lot of terrible decisions and terrible play in it wasn't even called the Premier League before, but
it was just the first division of the top flight football for 92 or whatever, 93,
exactly. So, but there was clearly, there must have been a lot of dumb things, the square goalposts in the 50s and the 60s or whatever, but no one ever really saw it, you know, outside of the people who went to the games. But now ever since MLS has existed, since 96, it's been televised, it's been this constant video. This, we've seen it all. We've seen all the dumb things that we've done. So
we wear our scars on our arm. Like, we show our scars. We wear it on our sleeve. Like,
yeah.
You know exactly what we've done, bad or good. I mean, you could, people retweet it all the time, like, oh, remember this? And it's the shootout, which, by the way, it's actually still kind of exciting, okay? I may not be for it as much as I am what we have now, but it's actually kind of exciting. So everybody could suck a little bit of a dick over there on that, acting like it's that big of a shock. It's not like we have, like, pregnant women smoking cigarettes getting to do the penalties. You know what I mean? It's not the most insane thing you've ever heard. It's we do a run-up. It's like Pele actually said he preferred it, okay?
Yeah.
And everybody loves Pele, so y'all could stop right there. But this is what I'm talking about. Like, you know, you in Europe, it's so easy. Maybe I should speak a little lower because I forget I'm here. You know, it's so easy to be like, I can't believe I'm talking MLS right now. I can't believe I'm talking about the MLS. And I get the sentiment and I understand, but to me, it's pandering. And there's nothing dumber than when we do it ourselves. And that's why Cooligans even exists. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why, but part of it, somewhere on that list, is to, yo, let's get some pride going, man.
That's
like, you'll be proud of yourself, dog. I forgot what the rant was that
I went on. You know what? We should throw an MLS Pride Parade. That's all. Straight up.
Yo.
Rainbows and soccer balls. I'm all about it.
It would be, first of all, it would be fabulous. Okay?
Without a doubt.
But what was it? I went on a rant, and it was like a 3 or 4 tweet rant. Like, I forgot what it was, man. But like, Doyle retweet. I forgot what it was. I was talking something proud to be American. Whatever it was, it's like, that's... This is what we need to be doing. Like, we shouldn't be kowtow. That's what it was. I was like, yo, we still got a kowtow. It was always el tráfico. Everyone's upset about calling it el tráfico. It fits. The fans made it. Let them have it. Let's have fun.
Yeah, there's no... for the most part, again, it just goes on with the... Like, it's all becoming hacky in, like, in all this criticism. Nobody's... flipping out, you know, this is the issue. And I remember seeing a tweet. I think we talked about this on an older episode about somebody had asked a British journalist about, like, how come there's the Carabao Cup and the League Cup and all these other competitions, FA Cup, what like, why are they all a part of English football? And he sort of explained like their history behind it and it being like the lower league teams wanted an opportunity to make money playing against so and so teams, and then they never found an opportunity to remove a tournament that was like kind of obsolete. And the real issue with a lot of that stuff that goes on in England is that it's always been done that way, so they can't change it because, well, that's how we do it. So the idea of changing it is crazy. So that's really the problem. When something new is introduced, a new derby, nobody's flipping out over Merseyside Derby or the North London Derby or whatever. Like, because they've existed forever. But when the names first started, I'm sure somebody was like, hey, maybe we should call it something else. Or like the Bingham Street Derby or whatever. Like, nobody says that. We're not privy to those debates because they didn't happen on social media. But now that the derbies are being named organically in front of everybody, people are like, oh, this is stupid. What a dumb name. Just like when we started the Cooligans, when you told me, like, hey, let's do this podcast. I want to call it the Cooligans. What was my first response? I was like, Alexis, that name sounds so stupid. That is a stupid name. And then,
well, actually, if we're going to be honest, you stared at me blankly for about 30 seconds. And I looked at you and I go, the name's stupid. And you're like, yeah, because we didn't have the relationship we have now where we're very open with each other. At first, I think there was that little bit of decorum, but still, as comics, we couldn't hide how we feel. So you were just like, you look like someone, like you were buffering.
Yeah, like when a comic tells you a joke, they're like, hey, I want to try this joke out. And if you don't know them very well, you'd be like, all right, well, I mean, there's a couple things you need to work on. But if, like, you know them, you just be like, yo, that shit is whack, dog. What are you talking about?
If you don't know them, you'd be like, hey, you know, in a couple of weeks, that could be really funny. You know, you give them encouragement to work on it. If you know them, you're like, dog, don't ever say those words again in that order.
You've been honest, right?
And that's, you looked at me like, Cooligans, that might be almost too stupid of a name. And I looked at you and I was like, but yo, is it so stupid that it's good again?
And that's kind of what it, that's kind of what happened, where I was like, you know, it sounds silly, but like, it's, you know, it might be fun after you say it a while. Once it's, once it leaves your lips a couple times, you're like, all right, this actually feels okay. And that's kind of what's happening with El Tráfico. A lot of these things, when they're being sort of discovered and organically created, then they feel weird. But then after a couple, look, after 5 years, nobody's gonna say, they're gonna be like, Tráfico's like, oh, that's great, that's inventive, that's creative, and it's gonna be part of the normal soccer culture.
And what I love about it is these are the fans sort of saying like, yo, like, here's what fits like our world. And you know, all these people that are sitting there going like, oh, we're not going to get respect. And look, I'm not calling out Dave Martinez, and I'm not calling out Franco Panito, and I'm not calling out Ives or Ives or Ives. I don't know what name he goes by. If it was Spanish, it'd be Ives. But it's not specifically those three dudes. And I think a lot of people thought we were subtweeting them, or I was specifically subtweeting them. Not at all. They're a part of the group that we were talking about in general. There's a lot of people online who were saying like, oh, we're not going to get their respect. Who's there? Who's they? Who? We don't get their respect now. Look at the naming of our teams. And by the way, I hate, I didn't want to be like the New York Pigeons or, Kansas City Wizards. I thought that was stupid. I love the more traditional soccer names. I would love if we got some more South American sounding names, some more Atletico, ones in Independiente Nashville. I would love something like that, or Independent Nashville, something along those lines. I love that kind of stuff. So I'm all about that. And maybe that's me being a bit of a hypocrite here, but I like that. But yo, we don't have to diddle Europe's balls every time we do something in soccer. We don't. Like, yo, we can be American as fuck. Like, we don't have to be so American that it's annoying, but it's like, what's our culture? Like, you know, people think about it. When the English went to South America, they brought the game with them, right? And that's why you have like, you know, Wanderers in Argentina, in Chile, in Uruguay. You have teams named Wanderers, and you have a Liverpool in Uruguay. Why? There's no Liverpool in Uruguay. Why you got Liverpool down there? Like, they got names. Like, there's an Arsenal, I think, in not Argentina. Is it Argentina? I forget where there's an Arsenal. There's an Arsenal there. Dog, they don't call it that. In fact, the team River Plate is because the English couldn't say Rio Plata, so they called it River Plate. And now the team goes by River. They call themselves like they say the word in Spanish, even though it's in English.
Yeah.
Like, there's some of it. But yo, like, what's their culture? They change the culture. They've got those TIFOs, those banners that come down that look like the big streamers. They sing the whole match. They have drums. Like, there's a way to add your culture to the sport. Like, I don't understand why these Americans, it's like some Americans won't respect the game until it becomes a carbon copy of Premier League. What do you want? What do you want? How about this? How about you really tell yourself, you really ask yourself, what do you think would be fun? What's a fun game? Like 110 years ago, when England was nothing but like black and white photos, and I guarantee you it looked like that live. Okay? I guarantee you. There was just no color whatsoever.
Yeah.
When it was just one big episode of Peaky Blinders. All right? When it would look like that, I guarantee you that was fun for them, the way they invented the sport and they made the sport. And now there's a tradition to keep that going. We don't have that tradition. We need to create our own.
Yeah.
You know, you look at guys like Kicks at a pitch and you know, Medina out there, Drew Medina doing his thing. Like, you got Live Breathe Football. You've got all these people, and to some degree, as much as we were talking about them, but even the American version of Copa 90, like, we're all sort of starting to come up and create what our culture is. Like, why aren't we allowed to do that?
Sure. I mean,
why do we? Well, look, Italy don't have to become a copy of England. Why do we?
it's moving the goalpost all the time. There's always a new standard. There's always an unfair criticism that's put on this infant league, you know. And there are, and look, and it is good. You were even mentioning like Livery Football on the Volley Apparel, you know, Elvis doing like trying to infuse hip hop culture. The video that Copa 90 US did, Aaron West at in Atlanta, covering black culture in Atlanta and covering Footy Mob and all that stuff, and it shows the uniqueness of what American soccer can bring, and that should be embraced. And I know, look, again, I know there are people listening that are just staunch. If there's no promotion, relegation, I can't fathom even watching it. Which is, look, if you fine, but you can't ignore the culture it's in itself and the human beings that enjoy the sport and would like to watch it. So there's more than just systemic carbon copy of what's happening in other places across the world. There's more to it because there's a real human element of human beings that enjoy it and make up the culture of the sport in the country, and it's changing every day, and that's a thing we should embrace.
And here's the thing. If you're waiting for the league to develop or to accept or, institute promotion and relegation, then you're going to become a fan. Can you think of something more plastic than that? I can't. Oh, wait. I don't want until the league does it the perfect way. I'm not going to pay my money. I'm not going to be a fan. I'm not even going to watch it on TV. I'm going to pretend it doesn't exist. I'm only going to be a fan of this other league that has a lot more glory. You're a glory hog, dog. All that stuff that you talk about, you chant about, and you act like you're not because you're somehow an Arsenal fan or a Manchester United fan or a Manchester City fan. Even though you grew up in Wisconsin and you live in a big city on one of the coasts and you act like all of you have tradition. Sure, yeah. You just started watching this game 2 years ago, but all of a sudden you've got tradition. You know? And now, but you don't want the league that's in your own backyard that represents your country, that represents the people you probably know and grew up with, the people that you grew up around that ate the same places you ate at, that played in the same parks you played in, that went to the same schools you went to, that play in that league and that are trying, busting their ass, making barely a living back in the day. Now they're doing better, but certainly back in the day they were making barely a living. Where they had to retire and go do something else. One of them's a cop in Orlando. Tally Hall's a cop in Orlando. People have to become accountants or car salesmen or real estate agents. Like, dog, these people you won't rep at all. You won't rep at all until they do it exactly the way you want it. Dog, that's the most plastic thing I ever heard of. Get out my face, plastic ass.
Okay, well there you have it, kids.
So if you're wondering, has Europe tamed me? The answer is no.
I wanted to at least, this was a fun moment because ever since Zlatan has arrived, and especially after the incredible game he had, there've been local news reporters that have,
oh boy,
that have been just butchering either his name, butchering the just talking about the entire sort of the whole experience of Zlatan arriving to the league, because for a lot of local news reporters, they don't know anything about soccer. They've never had to cover it, and then they get this script on the teleprompter, and they're like, okay, well, there's a lot of words here that I am not comfortable with,
and it seems like there's words missing.
But this was this is from a CBS broadcast. I don't know I think it's in Los Angeles. I don't know which state in particular, but I just wanted to play this very quickly. Here goes.
Known as El Terrifico, but the first installment will be remembered for a long, long time as Slaven Ibrahimovic. I had a little trouble saying that the first time, didn't I? He had a stunning debut with the Galaxy.
So El Terrifico, which is also a derby I'm perfectly fine with. That'll be really fun. That's a fun.
First of all, it was. He's not wrong. It was Terrifico.
Great.
He was 100% right. Yeah. That guy also gave a Simpson-esque dead stare into the camera as he said it. I mean, it seemed like a live-action Simpsons episode. The Los Angeles Football Club, also known locally as El Terrifico. It was perfect. You couldn't ask for a better sort of way to say it in camera. The other guy who called him Zoltan.
Yeah, that was
Zibrahimovic.
Zoltan Zibrahimovic. Which is...
That is...
That's a good one. All right. Now we know that one. There was no script in front of him. He was like, tell me the name once. Got it. Zoltan.
Okay. Say what's in my ear. Good enough.
Nancy, I'm a professional. Don't you dare repeat it. Okay?
I've been...
I've been doing this 22 years. Don't you dare insult my intelligence.
We'll do it live. It's the
Bill O'Reilly. Yeah.
Bill O'Reilly. Yeah. It's the Bill O'Reilly. We'll do it live.
I was tweeting about this. This is more fodder for a lot of people to be like, oh, look, American this and they don't know this. But this is great. This is just they're forced to cover this story. They don't want to. We're having a good time with it. It's really funny. They're gonna learn. It'll be the same. It's the same thing as if you ask a local news reporter to cover some lacrosse championship or whatever. They're not gonna know anything about it. They're going to get names wrong. Just because it's popular all over the world does not mean that every single person in this country knows about it. A lot of these people are older. They probably don't know they don't know who Zlatan is. So there is a beauty in watching sort of all of us grow up at the same time, and we all sort of go at our own pace. So I'm fine with it. We're gonna make fun of them because it's hilarious. But to use it as an example of like just dumb Americans is very short-sighted.
Oh, there was a comic last night who got up on stage. I don't know the dude's name. He's actually very funny, but his first joke is about how he leads a bar tour here in Dublin. And he goes, I came across, he's like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen one of these because they're rare, a well-read American. And the crowd just loved it. They laughed. And I was just like, all right, like I get the trope. And then he makes a joke about an author I've never heard of. So I was like, all right.
Okay, well, he's right.
Well, then maybe I shouldn't be the one to tell you this, that's wrong. But, you know, it's an old trite. So, like, we're never going to get rid of that idea of, like, the dumb American. Sometimes when I'm hosting and people, like, I know the city they're from in the country or, like, I've heard of it, they get surprised and I'm like, oh, I'm fat, but I'm not dumb, right? So I only get half the quota of what you think of an American. Like, I get that that's there and that's not going to go away. But to some degree, it's like, here's the thing. In the world we live in now, these things aren't embarrassing anymore. These are additional marketing opportunities. Like if something is truly viral, like, and Zlatan Ibrahimovic's goal is probably the single most viral moment in MLS history, that we should be able to eat off that for like what? 10 days? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's like a fair amount of time. Yeah, that, I mean, it's still getting a lot of buzz. And right now, the 7-second clip on Twitter of Zlatan's goal is I think at like almost 2.5 million views. So
there you go. I mean, how many goals would Dom Dwyer have to score to get to that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or even look, that's not an easy number.
Villa wouldn't hit that number.
Well, that's not an easy number for a Premier League goal, even an amazing one. So
yeah, no, you're not wrong.
It's a big deal because of who it is, where it happened, the storyline in itself of how it happened, and we're gonna in the next segment we'll get to a lot of the games and really sort of deep dive into how LAFC managed to allow this to happen. we said it earlier. It is an important goal, and we're going to look back on it and being like, wow, American soccer took quite a jump. I mean, even in comedy, there were a bunch of people. I know Patrick Schroeder, he's a comedian from Philly, he lives in New York. He's also on the OG podcast network.
The dad, the good, ugly.
The good, the dad, and the ugly, I think it's just.
Yeah, that's it.
And he mentioned, he was like, I haven't paid attention to MLS until this is like the first time I'm paying attention to MLS again after seeing that goal and that game in itself. Okay, I will talk about it more, but easily one of the best, I think the best game in MLS history. So
yeah, and to your point, by the way, if that goal, if something, a goal at Toulouse in Ligue 1 doesn't get those highlights, a goal at like Celta Vigo in La Liga would never get those highlights. A goal at, you know, I'm trying to think of like a lot at Lazio might not get those views in Serie A. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're 100% right. This is a big deal for any league to get these numbers. Huge league. But let's talk about some of the other games when we get back.
Exactly. So, all right, we'll be right back right after this.
Hi, this is Mike Coscarelli from Anxiety Now.
And Andrea Allen from the Hot Mess Comedy Hour.
We just launched the brand new OG Podcast Network and wanted to let you know that you can hear ours and other great shows by going to OGPodcastNetwork.com.
Also, be sure to follow the network on social media to keep up to date with new shows, videos, and live events.
That's at OG Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Or you can subscribe to your favorite OG podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, baby, we're back.
We are back. So, look, Alexis, how is Ireland going? How's it been?
Ireland is awesome. The shows out here are great. I'm not kidding when I say I might be back again this year. This place is absolutely awesome. I had the honor also of meeting a longtime fan of ours. And I had no idea we even had fans out here. And after this week, we may no longer. But ladies and gentlemen, I got to meet the one, the only Sean McGrinder, I should say, also known as MLS Ireland. How awesome is that?
That's right. So he's trying to, you know, get more people aware of Major League Soccer out in Ireland. And thank you. Yeah, I'm glad you got to meet him. I'm glad he's been always supportive of us. So, Sean, thank you so much. And I'm glad you got to hang out with Alexis a little bit.
Yeah, man. We got to share a couple pints. It was a good time, man.
Okay.
The dude took a bus to come see me, so it was awesome. Like, we got a chance to hang out. We got a chance. He met the wife. I didn't get a chance to perform on that show. There was a bit of a mix-up. I was booked on the next show, and he was out of town for that. So there was a whole to do. But at the end of the day, we ended up hanging out, and it was absolutely a great time. He said he was going to buy me a pint if he ever met me. And I will say, he is a man of his word. He absolutely did do that, and we had a good crack, as they say here. That doesn't mean we smoke crack, is what we did, Shine.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, Alexis came back from Ireland a junkie, so that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. But y'all wanted me to lose weight, consider it done. Imagine I'm just a fat junkie. Oh, what? He beat crack?
what's a new diet, Alexis? Oh, it's just meth, that's all.
Yeah. Also, part of your beard is on, it's because I keep scratching that part of my face. Let me say, Sean is absolutely awesome and a big fan of just all MLS. Like, he's just, you know, sort of, I think it was either Kyle Martino or Taylor Twellman, somebody said sort of the joy of being a neutral this weekend was just talking about, like, how much fun it is to get to just watch some of these games without having a vested interest and not sort of get to enjoy some of the wonderful things that's happening on both sides. And he sort of gets that. And even though we are NYCFC fans, to some degree, because we're entertainers and we get asked to, you know, do presentations for certain teams or fan groups, or we watch the league as a whole, we kind of are, to some degree, or at least we try to watch it as a neutral as much as we are NYCFC guys, because we want to have some skin in the game. You know, he really gets that opportunity. He watches it from afar, but he gets to see everything and just enjoy for what it is.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, we try to be as objective as possible. And, you know, it's difficult when it's like, yeah, when we're talking about NYCFC against San Jose, but I mean, for the most part, you know, we're not incapable of pointing out flaws or issues with the teams that we support. So it's like, you know, hopefully people don't listen to this. Cause I know early on when we started doing the podcast, we were kind of focused on NYCFC cause that's what we were around the most. But the more we learned about the league and other supporters and just met other people from all over the country, we've become, I feel at least more objective, when we talk about other teams, which we're going to do right now. And we're also going to go in crazy hard and make fun of, some of your favorites because
absolutely. That's what we do best.
Because what we do best. So let's get started. The game that we were just talking about, let's get into some detail. LA against LAFC, the first El Tráfico, right?
It was very terrifico.
An event. I mean, it felt more. Look, the game was going to be a big deal even before Zlatan got there. But once he showed up, once he landed, and once we knew that he was going to play. We already saw the tickets for some of the tickets were going for $1,000 for a regular season MLS game, which is unheard of, absolutely crazy. But those are the things where it is a hot ticket. It is as big as sitting front row you know, at a Laker game, at a Clipper game, you know, so now it's becoming where Los Angeles is, just in general for soccer, it gets to compete with those hot tickets that are in the other sports in the LA area.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of, you know, having been in LA multiple times now, I certainly am not going to sit here and say that I understand, you know, LA through and through. But like, I kind of, the sentiment that I think got lost during the whole LA versus East Coast, you know, sort of, you know, rivalry that existed back in the day. Oh, they too chill over there and they don't care about nothing and they mad indifferent. And all New Yorkers, you too opinionated and you too loud. Don't follow me on Twitter if you're a restaurant I've been to recently, you know. All those things, like, I think what got lost in that is just how LA is. And LA suffers from the same thing that New York does, which is a lot of people from outside LA decide to make a home in LA. So, you know, it kind of starts to skew what the actual attitude of the people are. And LA, because it's such an exciting place, it's something where you need to be an event in order to really, really get, like,
yeah.
On a normal day, you know, you could go see Lady Gaga or Katy Perry or the hologram of Tupac perform. Like, you could see anything on a normal day in L.A. So, like, to be a soccer and to be a big event, you better be an event.
I mean,
this was.
And more than anything, it has to be a big event, but worth sitting in the traffico that you're gonna sit through. So it has to be a big deal to sit in that traffic and for it to be, like, it has to be worthwhile.
Yeah, especially if you're going to Carson, which, you know, unbeknownst to us, I mean, you could Google map it, but, like, you never really know. It's like people are like, oh, why can't you go to Rebel Arena? It's just as far as Yankee Stadium to Brooklyn. But, like, not only is there a psychological barrier, but there's just so much more. That there's so much more you have to do to get there. Like, it's not easy to get to Carson, you know what I mean? And then you're going to fight all that traffic getting back in LA when there's already traffic in LA. You know what I mean? So, like, another reason the name fits so well. So the idea of you were able to make, like, Zlatan Ibrahimovic and just these two teams going against each other, which before anyone even knew Zlatan was going, this was still a big deal. The fact that these two teams were playing each other and that still drew people out of LA into Carson, this is exactly what they wanted.
Yeah.
This is what everybody was hoping for.
And look, and the match started off with a bang. I mean, I was kind of, this was like one of the first matches in MLS where I was nervous for both teams, you know, outside of like NYCFC Rebels. This was like, I was legitimately like, oh man, this is going to be a big deal for whoever wins this game. And I loved the fanfare. The LAFC fans got there early. They were chanting loud. The social media was great. Shout out to all the Heart of LAFC listeners that may have heard you on their podcast last week during your tour of Banc of California Stadium. But I mean, we gotta give condolences because what. That was rough. I mean, you up 3-0. The game starts great. Carlos Vela with that beautiful curler. And then the second goal, just LA Galaxy looking bad defensively, making a lot of mistakes. So up 2-0. Then in the end of the first half, Ureña causes that own goal from Steres. Everything's falling apart for the Galaxy. I'm watching this game and I'm like, there is no way they come back from this.
I did not think. I mean, just watching the beginning of it, it seemed like LAFC, when they say going for the throat, they were passing the throat around.
You know what I mean? You get hit of this dog, and then it's just like, yo, and Diego Rossi's like, pass that shit, son. Why you hogging all that shit?
Yo, it's puff, puff, give, dog. You're fucking up the rotation.
It's legal here, man.
I was embarrassed for LA Galaxy, but it seemed like, and what I think is so great about this game, and what we're going to look back at this match and say was so incredible, is that this wasn't just a back and forth game. Like, you know, Red Bull Orlando was just as exciting a game as this. But the storyline around this game and the suggestion that MLS has no history. Doug, the storyline around this game that LA Galaxy gets all these rules made for it and always gets a pass and was the flagship team of the league for a long time and probably a promise to AEG or whatever that is, that company that owned like six MLS teams at one point to keep the league going, which is now just the owner of LA Galaxy. Maybe they might have sold LA Galaxy. I'm not sure, but like maybe that's sort of a help to them. Like, hey, you guys stood by us. We're going to hook you up a little bit, give you a little sum on the side. All of that going around, but they're no longer the team and they built the stadium in Carson, but now you got this team in dead center and the aesthetic is really cool and everyone loves it and the fans are behind it. And all of a sudden they're the new big dogs in town and they're winning 5-0 and they're the new Atlanta United and everyone loves it and this is a big deal. And all of a sudden, it looks like this is all happening. This is a passing of the baton.
Yeah, yeah. Look, the there were a couple of interesting things. I thought, I thought Carlos Vela played great. I thought I honestly thought the man of the match, if none of the other stuff happened, would have been Marco Ureña. Marco Ureña was amazing in this game. I mean, he was running all over the field. They couldn't sort of keep track on him. He was good on the ball. Every decision he made was the right one, and he was involved in every single goal. So he played great. But look, I think the biggest thing that was noticeable was especially at the beginning of the second half was it felt like you were looking at a team that were sure they were going to win. And I think that was clear in the first two goals for LA Galaxy, especially Benny Fellhaber receiving the ball in the midfield, and credit to LA Galaxy and Siggy Schmidt, Servando Carrasco, who was playing up front, playing way more aggressive, and he took the ball off of Fellhaber that led to the first goal from Legette. But when you see when you see Fellhaber receive the ball and just make like he just took too long. He just like wasn't aware of who was around him. That's not the kind of goal you want to give up on just like a cheap giveaway in your own like third like that. So and then the second goal after Zlatan is already in the game, Emma Boateng kind of just weaving through, walking by. No one's kind of marking him because Zlatan is there and they're trying to keep a body on him. But Boateng just walking by and then being able to deliver a cross with really nobody was defending him, essentially. Then Chris Pontius putting, if you look at that play, especially the second goal, the amount of ball watching from Laurent Simon, João Moutinho, everyone is just looking at Boateng. Nobody's paying attention to anyone else on the field. I mean, it's really disturbing, and you really see like these guys just like, oh, we got this game. It's already the 70th minute or whatever. We're gonna be fine. But especially the second goal again from the header from Chris Pontius, João Moutinho is totally not looking at Pontius. He is totally and just completely unaware that there's a player that there's any other player on the field besides Emma Boateng who has the ball and Zlatan who's right next to him. So
everybody was Liam Ridgewelling.
That's the new verb that everybody uses. No, it was.
Are you out there? Are you Ridgewelling right now?
Well, it was interesting because after the game, the post game interview with Susanna Collins that she did with Chris Pontius, he made a point to say it was some. I'm paraphrasing, but he did say like, "Oh, it's good to show like that experience can win a game," or like something about MLS veterans or like some older guys that we still got it. And it was a really good point in that, you know, LAFC is a young team, and LA Galaxy and Chris Pontius, who's an MLS veteran, he's played for a couple clubs, and he was just like, "Nah, son, old man still got some game in him." And when you see the header he did, he just jumped over João Moutinho. João Moutinho was the first pick, I believe, is what, like he's like 19 years old, maybe 20. And he got bodied by a bigger man. And João Moutinho, it raises in question just like his his maturity, obviously, is also, and his physical maturity, because he's like, he's kind of a frail, kind of a smaller frame. He's probably not grown into his body yet.
He's going to look very different in 5 years than he does right now.
Exactly. So, look, so those first two goals, I thought, really what set the precedent for what Zlatan ended up doing.
Look, I agree with you. And you know, we really haven't talked about this a lot, but it's been talked about a lot among some of the other, you know, media channels that cover MLS. You know, TAM has been amazing for changing the fortunes of this league and getting young Latinos like us an opportunity to play in the game, even though we're not playing. We're probably young by their eyes either. But we're Latino enough. We're Caribbean. But it certainly also has taken the opportunity for a paycheck away from some of these older you know, the veterans in the league. You know, TAM has sort of priced them out. They're too expensive, and you could use that TAM you could use that kind of salary to buy down or to TAM up a player of a different ilk, of a higher quality that's younger, that you could take sort of a bit more of a risk on. So, you know, Pontius is doing it for all of them. You know, he's doing it for the Bobby Boswells out there, for all the guys that got kind of, They were making too much money to kind of, they're in that middle ground where it's like, why would we sign you when we can use that money more efficiently elsewhere?
Yeah.
And it's a shame because you're right. They do have the skill, but could they keep it going? Look, let me tell you something. Bob Bradley's not going to let that happen again.
No.
Bob Bradley's not letting that team do that again. So, yeah, look, they don't have a completely full squad still. They're not exactly the team they're going to be. And I'm not sitting here making excuses. Look, they were the better team on that night.
Yeah.
They just gave up. They lost the game more than they... I mean, look, they got Zlatan. Zlatan won the game. And
sure,
yeah, those two goals were super important, but that game should have ended at 3-2. It should have.
Yeah, and or it could have ended 4-3 for LAFC. Marco Ureña, again, had that. He had a great chance towards the end when LA Galaxy were pushing forward, and he just hit the post, you know, 2 inches to the right, and it's a completely different story. But
just tell Marco Ureña that whatever team he's playing, tell them that it's either Chile or, I mean, no, tell them it's like Honduras or like Mexico. And watch, he'll score. He can only score for Costa Rica.
Or if it's the U.S. at Rebel Arena, just tell him that and he'll be fine.
Yeah, that's true. Tell him it's the U.S. at Rebel Arena every time.
But look, all right, yeah. Obviously, Zlatan does what he does. You know, a little bit of a debate over the second goal. Some people thought it was offside, but the first one,
he was offside. He was clearly offside. All right. But why would you take that storyline away?
This is the counter argument here. He was not offside. But let's talk about that. We'll talk about that in a moment. Let's talk about the first goal, right? Daniel Sterrez gives up the own goal earlier, and then I don't even know why this is even allowed. Daniel Sterrez gets the assist on that 45-yard screamer, which is crazy to me because he was not planning that at all. That was not some setup play. So it's wild to me that
God doesn't even get the assist on that one.
Yeah, usually, you know,
God's like no, that was all Zlatan.
You know, athletes are always like, I'm glad we won, but first and foremost, want to thank God. Zlatan is like, nah, man, God was getting in the way of some of my, you know, my earlier opportunities.
Zlatan's like, I'd like to thank God, and you hear a voice from the heavens goes, no. No need to thank me.
I had nothing to do with it.
That was all you, homie.
Yeah, that's how God talks. Is he's just straight up Bronx. Yeah, homie. That was all you, dog.
Damn, son. You hit that shit with fire.
Facts, B. So
yo, you type beast that.
So look, again, we talked about the goal enough. It was incredible. Zlatan even gave the same reasoning that David Villa gave against Philadelphia Union from last year, being like, "Oh, I was just too tired. I didn't want to run anymore." But this is when Zlatan was on the field for approximately 5.5 minutes. He was already too tired. So that really says a lot about his current fitness. And it says a lot about it doesn't matter how tired Zlatan is. He looks better than someone who is at complete tip top shape, at someone that's like 24 years old. So
And by the way, I will say that there was a English person that I was speaking to here, and I forgot to mention this in the first segment, who gave me the whole, he was going against a first year team, and it was in MLS. He kind of gave me one of those. And I go, yeah, but when he hit the bicycle kick from half the pitch, that was only against the English national team, right?
Yeah.
And he kind of looked at me and he goes, all right, touche. Like, that guy could take a joke. He's like, all right, good point. And I was like, there you go.
Yeah, that's how it should be received. You know, that's Zlatan's skill. That goal doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what keeper is there. I would say the only thing that was put into question was when Ola Kamara went up for the ball with the LAFC defender. I don't remember who it was. Was that a foul? Some people, I know on the English broadcast on Sky Sports, they questioned that because they thought VAR might take it back because it might have been a foul. It seemed like two guys went for the ball and neither of them got it. And created Zlatan's opportunity. So, and then with the offside, the debatable offside call, I mean, great on Zlatan, right? To not go for the ball after the ball was passed for him. He lets Ashley Cole receive the ball, so he's not involved in the play. And then Ashley Cole, great left-footed cross, and he doesn't really do anything much other than just put it up in the air. It's sort of like you throw it up to the biggest guy and hopefully the alley-oop, for an alley-oop or whatever. But I would say this. I think Ibrahimovic was in line with the ball. He was ahead of the defenders, but he was in line with the ball, which would make him onside. So that I think it was poor defending again from Laurent Simon, who didn't keep up with him, and it was poor defending from João Moutinho, who didn't close in on Zlatan. But he's also 6'5". The keeper was there. There was nothing that really could have been done.
Nothing. And it was an exciting game back and forth. And I bet you fans from both sets enjoyed that game.
Yeah, I agree. It was insane. And again, one of the most entertaining games I have ever seen. When Zlatan scored that first goal, I lost my mind. I was screaming. My girlfriend thought she thought something was wrong. I was going absolutely nuts. And not for like, I'm not cheering for the LA Galaxy per se. I'm just like, holy shit. The storyline is crazy.
You're cheering for the moment.
The moment was just crazy.
And also, you're cheering for the fact that we don't have to do that much research for the show next week.
Yeah, it makes it easier, you know? This is like, we know what everybody wants to hear. So
Zlatan handed us an entire episode on a platter.
So, surreal. Just surreal. And the moment made it just great. I know there was a great a tweet from a guy named, he was an Atlanta United fan. His name is Ben's Friends ATL. And he tweeted out a picture of I assume it's a girl. I don't know. It just the way it's written, it seems like it. It says somebody tweeted out, Ibra official coming for you, even though I'm supposed to be supporting Atlanta United. And then there's like a heart eyes and whatever. So it seems like a girl that's like really attracted to Zlatan and wants to go see him. And she and it's written. There's a picture that shows Atlanta United against LAFC. Not LA Galaxy. So she didn't realize what she thought it was LA. So figured, LAFC is playing Atlanta United this weekend. So just kind of presumed that it was Zlatan's team. And it was just great because like nobody wanted to tell her the truth about what was going on. So it was just a fun moment where it's like, and this is what a great player should do. It transcends almost every single team where it was like, I don't support the team, but we got to go see Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And that's enough to merit the signing.
Yeah, I mean, look, people are talking about it. And look, the game was exciting. Imagine he went up and that kick doesn't go in and the header gets called offside. I mean, you're not as excited about the signing anyway. So this was fun. This was good for the league.
Exactly. All right. So let's go into a couple other games that we should talk about other things because we know that Francisco Calvo hates it when we don't talk about Minnesota United. So
No. He hates it when Jay Riddle talks about Minnesota United. So look, I'm doing the Irish restaurants what Jay Riddle are doing is doing the professional soccer players in America.
Yeah. Oh, and shout out, happy birthday, Jay Riddle. I know we told him online, but it was his birthday on April Fool's Day as well.
Happy birthday to the god, Jay Riddle.
So look, so let's talk about Minnesota and Atlanta. This was not the most entertaining of games, but I know for Atlanta United fans, I know they were probably excited to come away with 3 points here. Game started, own goal, Francisco Calvo, kind of a weird play, a corner, and then...
Yeah, it was like ping-ponging around. To be honest, I don't know. I know Francisco Calvo came out and apologized. Why?
Yeah.
He barely had anything to do. His body was standing there. The ball had hit him and went in.
Exactly. Yeah, Tito Villaba hit the ball, went off the post, bounced around, and it goes in off of Calvo's knee. So, look... I guess what sucks is like that, you know, I was expecting, you know, another 4 or 5 goal game, like the snowpocalypse game from last year at Minnesota.
It was cold though.
It was cold, but there was no snow. Overall, just the game was a lot more chippy than I think we're used to. And both of these teams came into the league at the same time. Minnesota United beat Atlanta United in a very important game for them at the end of last season. But this is becoming a very real rivalry in like Minnesota feeling like the odd man out and like feeling like they're like very ignored, because Atlanta United got all the buzz and all the support last year. They get in the All-Star game this year. Like, it's wild. So, but this felt like a game like, oh, we're not going to be embarrassed again and not at home. But I wouldn't say that they were embarrassed, but they should have scored. I mean, the last 15 minutes of this game, they are just, I was thinking, oh, they were lemon peppering them with shots. They didn't let up. So I think the takeaway from this game is easily the red card from Leandro Gonzalez Pires. He gets,
yeah, it did not need to happen. But if the fans didn't see it, he kind of just like hip checked the other player a little bit, kind of bumped them when they were already out of bounds.
Yeah,
into the ads.
Yeah, this was Sam Nicholson, who was kind of beating LGP all day. I mean, he wasn't on the field for that long, but Sam Nicholson drew the first yellow in the first minute of the game. LGP didn't want LGP's getting beat like a lot this season, and it's not looking good. I don't know if it's like a fitness thing. I know he had a hip contusion thing. But he drew that yellow kind of just to save the team. He gets that yellow from just kind of getting in Sam Nicholson's way and just falling all over him. But the second yellow, there's no real argument. But again, I think both of them may have been having a back and forth, and LGP didn't want to get beat by him because Nicholson's pretty fast. So the second yellow, you understand it, but... I don't know what's up with Minnesota United. I mean, like, they had a lot of great chances. I think in the final third, they just made a couple, like, poor decisions that got in the way of them getting any really clear chances. But all the credit to Atlanta United. They did everything they had to do to get that goal, especially with the man down. So, I mean, they earned those points. They earned that point. The 3 points, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's... going against, you know, being down to 10 and being able to like play as well as they did. And, you know, the emotion in that game, even though they're not really like a rivalry. I mean, I guess they are a rivalry, but it's not like a traditional soccer rivalry. It's just because they came in the league at the same time. And I think at first there was a little bit of that with Orlando and NYCFC, even though that's kind of died off a little bit. That kind of was to some degree, and there's been flip-flop of players and coaches, RJ Allen down there, and you got Jason Christ down there. But to some degree, it's like those things don't always work out. People don't really remember that they came into the league at the same time. That's not really like an issue. For some reason, Minnesota sees it as like, we're going to get respect if we beat Atlanta, because Atlanta was like the darling that first year.
Yeah. Yeah, you sort of see where it comes from, and it's understandable. But in reality... With all the chances that they had, Minnesota has to be furious that they didn't get a point here. Like, and then to give up the goal that they gave up, to essentially play pretty well and get nothing out of it is a frustrating thing. But hopefully that changes. Officially, just yesterday or 2 days ago when you're listening to this, Darwin Quintero is officially signed. He was announced. They did a press conference. The Colombian striker will be leading that line for Minnesota United, and I think it's going to be a great addition, because Minnesota United always, they just feel like, especially this year, they're just missing a little thing, just a little something. Now, it's not like last year where you're like where they're losing every game 3-4-0 and they have no real options. I think now it'll sort of steady this ship, because Quintero, he was great for Club America, and I think he's going to do great things at Minnesota. So let's talk about another 1-0 game that was also filled with some controversy. Seattle Sounders against Montreal Impact. A couple interesting things in this game. We have a short hair Lodeiro. Nico Lodeiro has
he buzz cut.
He went Francisco Calvo, as they say. Yeah. So yeah, he got a little buzz cut. He looks a little strange. I'm not used to it. Because it doesn't seem like, because it's like a buzz cut with no like shape up. It's just like, it looks like he's like his mom gave him a haircut and she was in a rush, you know. I'm not used to it. I prefer the longer hair Lodeiro. I don't know, but he does seem a little bit more intense with the short hair.
He seems angry, and the ball also seems like it's whizzing past the goal as opposed to going in it.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on his play in general. I did want to ask this, because I didn't watch the entire game, but is Clint Dempsey injured? I don't know where is Clint Dempsey? He just hasn't played the last two games.
Yeah, Will Bruin is out there really trying to give it a go. Yeah. Every chance he gets. You have to be frustrated if you're Seattle and or Portland. That whole Cascadia region outside of Vancouver is having a really rough go of it. I mean, not that they're having the greatest season ever either, but
yeah, look, the thing that was interesting, Montreal wins this game 1-0, but the interesting part of the game had to be the slap on NBC. Kelvin Leardam.
Leardam,
son. What you doing? what did the Leardam say to the face? You know that old joke. Okay, so look. Kelvin Leardam undercuts. There was an aerial challenge. Daniel Lovitz goes up for the ball. The ball's basically going out of bounds. Kelvin Leardam undercuts Lovitz, and instead of going for the ball, he falls on the ground kind of hard. Lovitz is a little frustrated. He's like, yo, why'd you do that? Gives him a little shove, and it seemed so instinctive and so like, not planning on doing it, but it was just like fight or flight. And Leardam just straight up gives him a slap to the face, just a slap, just not even a hard one, just to let him know he's there, you know, just to remind him that he's at the CenturyLink.
It was very housewife-ish, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Is this how we get down in Suriname?
Very, like, Real Housewives, like, take, you know, bitch, don't you, like, you're not going to leave a mark, but you're going to let them know that they crossed a boundary. And that's what he did. Love it.
Yeah, you're not trying to knock him out. You're trying to send a statement.
You know, go back to all your other teammates and let them know what you saw here. Okay. And he gave him a slap, and no real excuse. In the beginning of that challenge, and when the red card was issued, I think the broadcast didn't catch the slap. So a lot of people were just like, he's getting a red card for undercutting a player. And even online, on Twitter, everyone was like, you know, they should be 8 red cards a game if that's the case. But then everyone saw the slap. And I mean, not much you can do, man. It sucks. Seattle's already having a terrible season. They were just a rough start. And that frustration came out in that slap. It wasn't really about Daniel Lovitz getting that slap. It was more about the frustration that Leardam was feeling.
I didn't see the match, so I didn't get that. But like, I understand how frustrating it is, especially this seems to be an MLS thing where people are getting red cards in the locker rooms. They're getting it after the match. They're getting it at home. You know, a coach will have an argument with his wife, and all of a sudden, they get a red card. Why are you here? Why are you here?
Look. Video review is a real thing, and like you can now, it's changing the landscape where maybe there are a couple players that are like, oh, let me egg this guy on a little bit, and maybe he'll do something stupid in retaliation. I don't even really think that Daniel Lovitz was trying to instigate anything. I think he was genuinely upset at the fact that Leardom undercut him, and it can lead to a serious injury. So, but that's it. Like, there's no more of this. Like, I can do it and get away with it, you know, or possibly, you know, not that Zidane got away with it, but the headbutt during the World Cup, you know, the World Cup final, like, there's no getting away with any of this stuff anymore. So even a little slap like that, which was like, it was very fast and it was like barely noticeable, but video review is going to see it. So you got to chill.
VAR sees it all.
See,
man.
That's it, man. They're big brother. So look, they do get a goal. Jason Vargas gets a goal after a giveaway from Nuhu. And then Piatti gets the ball. And that does what Piatti does, and he's just cutting up Chad Marshall, everybody, Roman Torres, cutting up everybody inside inside the box, and Vargas is there just to kind of tap it in. And it was weird. This game was like opposite of the Atlanta Minnesota game, where the final few minutes, the team that was down a man had to defend, and this one was the team that was down a man was putting on all the pressure. Montreal couldn't do anything those last couple minutes, and Seattle had a ton of chances that they probably should have, and they probably should have buried one. But the season is the season, and that the Sounders are having, so they end up with nothing, and they are a winless team. And so not a great start. So
let me just say real quick, I know, we're in a bit of a time crunch, but I did want to say, we don't talk a lot about Montreal, and a lot of people should, but yo, like, Montreal seems like they're one, maybe two players away from being one of the best teams in this league. And it is a damn shame that Remy Gard, I don't think, understands how this league is. And it's not like next year you can just add one or two pieces and you'll be fine. It seems like every team has to like continuously re-up year after year. They need to make some big changes. They need to go bring in some people because they can be so good. And Piatti doesn't have a lot left in him. You know what I mean? You got to strike while the iron's hot. Piatti's one of the best players in this league, and he should be getting all of the same praises that Valeri got last year.
I agree. Yeah. They have a lot to figure out. I think mostly like at a central midfield kind of thing. They're not a team that's gonna like scare you and put pressure on you. I think that's Montreal's biggest issue. But let's cover two other games very quickly. Orlando and against the Red Bulls. This game happens at Orlando City Stadium. Orlando wins this game 4-3, and it's like a lot of weird. This was like another crazy game, and it was interesting that this was right before the LA-LAFC game, but this was like just almost just as intense. I mean, it's pretty crazy.
If these were the first two matches you saw of MLS, you think this is the most exciting league in the history of the world. I mean, who needs promotion relegation? These guys figured it out.
Look, admittedly, the Red Bulls are not focused. We're not focused on this game. They have their CCL match against Chivas coming up today at 10 o'clock Eastern time. So the team that they put out, not really any heavy hitters. No Tyler Adams. BWP doesn't start this game.
So glad I put him in my fantasy league, you bastards.
They had, Derek Etienne Jr. is up front starting this game. Kaku's in there. But for the most part, it's the young guys kind of, that have been getting some pretty good results for.
Yeah, it was Red Bulls 2 plus Kaku.
Yeah. what a great name. They've been pretty reliable for Jesse Marston. They've been getting him results. So I saw this game. I'm like, oh, Orlando's going to, kind of have a tough time again. But Dominic Dwyer returns, and it really does it big, man. I mean, like, he's really the missing piece for any offense. For Orlando. So
And we can make all the jokes in the world about, you know, Dom Dwyer. Did they spend too much money on him? Is he the right type of signing? You know, so on and so forth. Everyone else is going and getting young, you know, internationals, and they go and get, you know, a guy they had when he was in the USL, when they were in the USL. But, I mean, he seems to make that fan base click. He makes the team click. I mean, what a great person to have up front. He needs to stay healthy if Orlando's going to do anything this year.
Exactly. And then there was some debate as far as, look, there were a lot of goals in this game. I feel like everyone got a chance. No, I don't think Dwyer was the only one that had two goals, I believe. But for the Rebels, Florian Vologos, he gets a goal. Dominic Dwyer, the goal that he had, his first goal was the one where he sort of challenged Luis Robles, and some people were saying that it was a foul where he's holding on to his shirt. I don't know. What did you think? It was a clear foul that they shouldn't have given him the goal.
No, I wouldn't say that. I know people think that that was a foul and the goal shouldn't have counted. I don't know. It's like with VAR and everything, it's not like, you know, the slap where no one saw it.
Yeah.
If they didn't call it, I'm looking at that and I'm saying, let it go. It was too exciting of a game. Again, what are you going to do? You're going to take any of those goals back? That was too exciting of a game. I know Rebel fans are like, yeah, at least one. Take back one of them.
The surprising one was the Rebel one where the Rebel goal that they gave up, which was the throw-in from Mohamed Elbounir, and then Dwyer is just straight up wide open. The ball takes one bounce. It looked like he just set it up for him. Like, you know those machines that set you up for volleys? That's sort of what the throw-in looked like. And it was surprising, even in the broadcast, we're like, okay, it's a throw-in, and why is no one next to Dominic Dwyer? Like, that's
The funny thing is like, you know how they say you can't be offside on a throw-in?
Yeah.
And like every Sunday league game, someone tries to do something like this where they get a throw-in and they try to turn and shoot right away.
Mm-hmm.
It actually worked. It was
in a professional soccer game, which is there was a bad play from, I think it was Tommy Redding. I think he was the one that was the other center back that was paired with Aurelien Collin, where he just looked like, it seems weird to be ball watching during the throw-in. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not the time where you should be looking. You should be looking at who he's going to pass the ball to and who he's going to throw the ball to.
You know how a lot of fans, when you play on FIFA, what you do is you get in front of the person who's receiving the throw-in. Now, that's not what you do in a professional setting because you always want to be defending on the goal side. So you always want to be between the player and the goal, regardless of how far away you are from the goal. You want to be between the player and the goal at all times.
Yeah.
So you can't jump in front of them because they'll just toss the ball longer than where you are. And you could turn and now you have an open face to the goal. So to some degree, a lot of defenders take it easy on those throw-ins. This was the wrong person and the wrong distance from the goal to do that. And the ability to turn and shoot, to get that on frame,
yeah.
I mean, that's special.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, he just kind of blasted it down low and Robles, nothing could do. And as soon as Robles got up, he was just like, bro, what the hell was that? Do you know me? Do you know I rock it with the Cooligans at galas?
Yeah, he was like, you are ruining the gal, the next gal I'm going to go to because of that.
You're putting me in a very un-gala-like mood right now.
this is anti-gala, and I will not stand for it.
Look, you know, Orlando, they were up 3-2, and then they give up this goal on a set piece. Aaron Long, again, it's like the Rebels were also down a man because Kyle Duncan was injured and couldn't finish the game. And after Jesse Marsh used all his subs, so they were down a man and they still tied the game up. And really, Orlando kind of got lucky on the last goal. It was just a deflection. But still, just more than anything, just still concerned about Orlando's defensive issues, man. They just have so many problems defensively. And yes, Dwyer helps, but yeah, it's still frustrating for them. And I know Orlando City fans have to be. I know you. We got into a little bit of a spat with some Orlando City fan because we were making jokes about Orlando.
Well, I think Keith thought we were Atlanta fans because so many Atlanta fans were in the tweet with us, or like I guess responding to the tweet. But you know, one quick comment to him and he calmed down. He's like, "Oh man, I want to listen to the podcast,"
which is cool. So thanks. I forgot. I think his name was Carlos. I don't remember exactly. But yeah, Justin Merrum put out a tweet saying that he was driving around. He asked a fan if Orlando winning this weekend against the Red Bulls.
Which is hilarious,
which is,
by the way.
A hilarious interaction, which is fine. Which what you're supposed to say when a player of the team asks you that, you're going to be like, yeah, we're going to win, right? It's very easy. But he goes, no, we're not. I don't think so.
I mean, the balls to be like, yeah, probably not. I mean,
which is great. And look, we're making fun of that. And now we're not making fun of Orlando overall. It's just like a funny sentiment and funny thing to say to an actual player. I would never say that to an actual player. I'm be like, it could be a Red Bull player. I'm be like, I mean, I hope you draw. You know, I'm not gonna be super super mean about it. Like, it's just so funny.
Or if you hate the team, if you're wearing a different jersey, at least you can get away with that. But your own fan,
your own, it's just so crazy. So a great game. And then the other one was San Jose against NYCFC. And the only real the big things out of this game, Villa hurt during warm-ups, which is another concern. He misses another game, but NYCFC will still win this game 2-1. I mean, and it's really looking like that the four players that I did not expect to be such shining lights for the Pigeons. It was Medina, the connection between Medina, Maxi Morales, Shradi, and Anton Tinnerholm. That goal. Anton Tinnerholm is becoming a New York City staple if he keeps banging them off the crossbar like that.
Dude, he's a legend for that goal. That goal, maybe even a little harder than Zlatan's.
I mean, look, that was the debate. I'm going to give credit where credit is due. Zlatan's goal, the storyline behind it probably takes that trophy. But look, the Swedes are doing it, all right? The Swedes are trying to show all the South Americans, like, yo, MLS ain't just yours anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's Paraguay and the Scandinavian region. that's who runs MLS now.
But look, tough win. Sean Johnson had a great game. San Jose, they still look like a big threat. I'm surprised that they couldn't score another one. But, you know, especially from Vaco, right? Vaco is just like, every time he has the ball and he's about to take a shot, I'm just like, this guy, it's going to be a beautiful goal every single time. He was curling them over and over, but Sean Johnson kept stopping him. And a big, just a big effort from NYCFC to get 3 points on the road. It wasn't an easy game for them.
Yeah, Vaco is a dangerous player. They're an exciting game. They're an exciting team to watch for sure.
Yeah. All right, everybody. So that's it.
That's it, baby.
Alexis go. He has a comedy show that he is about to go to. You gonna crush this, dog?
Dog, I mean, I'm going to do what I always do, which is probably go up there and complain about the food.
Okay, I thought you were going to respond like the Orlando City fan, you know? I was like, yo, yeah. Alexis, you going to crush it out there tonight?
I mean, probably not, you know? I'm going to try.
Okay, well, I mean, whatever. Just like, that's all that counts. I appreciate that.
Must have been an awkward drive for me. I'm after like, oh, boy.
Oh, no. Okay, I better try a little bit. Okay, because it seems like nobody has faith in me. So, all right, everybody. Thank you again for listening. We appreciate it. Alexis, have a good time in Ireland. Make sure you do a couple things, as always. Make sure you like and subscribe to the show, review it. If you're listening on YouTube, if you're watching it, like we thank you from last week. We mentioned we went over 1500 YouTube subscribers, so we're now like at 1510, I think, something like that. So help us get to 1600. Who knows? I mean, we have a bunch of videos on there. Make sure you follow us on all social media platforms, Instagram. We're doing funny stuff there on Twitter. It's live and on Facebook. So that's it, guys. Thank you again for listening. My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerrero.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!